As we've been dealing with prophetic issues this year, and on Mother's Day, we looked at a lesson in prophecy for mothers. So let's see what we can see about a lesson for children in prophecy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the things that you told us that are to come in the future. And there are many lessons for us to learn from those things. Perhaps today you can help us to see a principle for young people and the things that you told us to come. I ask for your help in this, and I ask for it in Jesus' name, please. Amen. Do you remember doing something bad as a child and your mother catches you red-handed? She might make you sit on your hands or sit in a corner, go to your room, put soap in your mouth. Any of you ever have that? Somebody's shaking his head. Or even spank you. But then she says the most terrible thing a child ever wants to hear from their mother. When your father gets home, are you really going to get it? On the other hand, let's say you got all A's on your report card. And your mother sees it, and she gives you your favorite dessert as a reward. And then she says, I think when your father gets home, he's going to be very happy, and there may even be more reward waiting for you. Don't you want to hear that? In prophecy, God tells us what he's going to do in the future, both to punish the wicked and reward the believers. The point being for children is what you have to look forward to is either consequences or blessings. So, first, let's look at God's prophecy about consequences. There are some very bad people in this world. Have you noticed that? Well, yes, of course. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there's something even worse than that. Would you go to Revelation chapter 16? Revelation chapter 16, verse 9. Revelation chapter 16, verse 9. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And what does it say next? They repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Even after all of those severe consequences, they still would not repent. That's pretty bad. Psalm 75, verse 7 says simply, God is the judge. And Psalm 24, verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Everything and everyone belongs to God, and therefore, because he is the judge and he is the owner of everyone and everything, he has the right to hold everyone accountable. He tells us in the book of Revelation of many consequences that the wicked are going to have to suffer in the tribulation period. I don't know why anyone would want to stay here during that time. Hail and fire mingled with blood. Third part of the trees burned up. All green grass burned up. A great mountain burning with fire cast into the sea so that the third part of the sea became blood. The third part of creatures which were in the sea died. The third part of the ships were destroyed. The third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died in the waters because they were made bitter. Third part of the sun was smitten. Third part of the moon. Third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And the sun and the air were darkened, there came locusts upon the earth. Unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth to have power. It was commanded them that they should hurt only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads, that they should not kill them, but that they should torment them 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. In those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. A third part of the men are killed by fire, by smoke, by brimstone. There fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, upon them which worshipped his image. The sea became as blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. Rivers and fountains and waters became blood. Men were scorched with great heat. The seed of the beast and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. I'd call that some severe consequences, wouldn't you? And that's only a part of it. And still, all of that's before chapter 16, and still they won't repent. And of course, then there's the ultimate consequence, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, I saw a great white throne. Verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. Do you understand every single thing you have ever done is written in a book in heaven? Do you think you're ever going to get away with anything? Verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire, and that's forever. But now let's talk about God's prophecy regarding blessing. In contrast to the wicked people of this world, there are those who believe God, trust in his word, and have received Jesus as their Savior. For them, there is the promise of blessing. We just read about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 14. It's a wonderful promise that we have to look forward to in the future. Now, unlike unbelievers who will have to face the consequences for everything they've ever done, all of it so bad. As believers, the unfortunate bad things that we still do as Christians will get all burned up, like, I'm going to do it just like my wife always, hay, wood, and stubble. I don't know why I always say it in that order. It's wood, hay, and stubble, isn't it? Wood, hay, and stubble. But I always say, hey, wood and stubble. I don't know why I do that. But all of that stuff will just get burned up. And what's left? What's he say? Everything that is of equal value to gold, silver, and precious stones. Verse 14, he shall receive a reward. A blessing given for good done. Believers are also promised crowns. There are several of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25 tells us that we are looking for an incorruptible crown. It refers to the corruptible crown that people receive for running races here on the earth. But we strive for an incorruptible crown, a crown that will last for eternity. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8 tells us that there is a crown of righteousness awaiting for those who finish their course. James chapter 1 and verse 12, the crown of life for those who endure temptation. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, a crown of glory for shepherding God's people. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19, a crown of rejoicing for all of those that you lead to Christ and take to heaven with you. Why does God do this? Go over to Psalm 5, verse 12. Psalm 5, verse 12. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. You do the right thing, you get a blessing. Ooh, what is the right thing? And how do you become righteous? Romans chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Where it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Faith in Jesus Christ will bring the righteousness of God to your life. Now it's offered unto all, but it's only put upon them that believe. So if you believe the gospel, which compels you to confess your sinfulness to God and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. He promises you blessing in proportion to how much you do the right thing as a believer. So, in prophecy, there are consequences and there is blessing. Now, let's make the application. Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 12. Too many people live for today and expect tomorrow to be just like today. Notice what it says here in this verse, Isaiah chapter 56, verse 12. Come ye, say they. Let's have a good time. I will fetch wine and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day and even better and much more abundant. Every day we're just going to have a party. Let's have a party today and tomorrow will be the same. We'll just have a party. But here's the thing. Go to Luke chapter 12, verse 16. You don't have the promise of tomorrow. I don't care if you're 16 or 96. You don't have the promise of tomorrow. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. I'll just have a good time the rest of my life. See, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God is not rich toward God. This is why parents must discipline their children so that children can learn there are consequences in life. There are a lot of people that think there should be no consequences in life. Why do you think they want to defund police? So there won't be any why do you think they did away with bond for people who were arrested? They've even declared that prisons don't really do anything for people. Nobody should be sent to prison. We're living in a society in which more and more people are thinking there should never be any consequences in life. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 15 says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Proverbs 23 verse 13 says, "Withhold not correction from the child." Proverbs 23 verse 14 says, "Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shall deliver his soul from hell." Proverbs 10:13. A rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Now, there's a lot to say about spanking a child. Of course, there's a place to spank, and there's a reason to spank. Are there other consequences that a parent can get? Sure. Proverbs 13, verse 24. "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Proverbs 19, verse 18, "Chasten thy son while there is hope." What is chastening? Well, chastening is just, in general, correcting by punishment, which can take a variety of forms. Just so the punishment is equivalent to the severity or lack of severity to the misbehavior. The school year of 1982 to 83, I was the principal at a Christian school. I was both the assistant pastor at a church and principal at a Christian school. I don't recommend doing both at the same time. But one day, a high school student came lamenting that two other high school students had destroyed his lunch. So I called in those two students, and I required each of them on consecutive days to bring a lunch to the student whose lunch they had destroyed. Instead of eye for an eye, it was lunch for a lunch. Punishment equal to the crime. Oh, by the way, they had to tell their mother why they were bringing an extra lunch to school. Parents can be creative in chastening their children. In some cases, it might not be anything severe, but in other cases, it might require something more severe. And then Proverbs 15 and verse 5 says, "A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent." Now, reproof is a little different than chastening. Reproof involves direct confrontation. And sometimes that's enough. Proverbs 17, verse 10 says, "A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool." And sometimes all it takes is reproof. Sometimes it takes chastening. Sometimes it takes a little more. But whatever type of discipline is needed, it must be administered when children are young so that they learn there are consequences in life. Because ultimately, if they do not do the right thing, there are consequences with God. And they need to know that. On the other hand, there will be blessings in this life for being good. Go over to Psalm 1, verse 1. Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. For delighting in God's law instead of going the other way, there is blessing. Psalm 40, verse 4. Psalm 40, verse 4. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Faith involves a couple of different dynamics. First of all, you have to believe something. But after you believe it, or at least give the indication that you believe it, you demonstrate that you actually do believe it, because then you trust. You trust it. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? You can easily say that, but are you in fact trusting that? There's blessing for trusting. And not only in the matter of salvation, but day to day. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. Do that every day of your life. Trust. Trust. Psalm 112, verse 1. Psalm 112 and verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. How do you fear the Lord? Well, you demonstrate that you have utter respect for God because you delight in his commandments. What has God said we should do? I delight in that because I have an utmost respect for God. Psalm 128, verse 1. Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Walking is, in the scriptures, lots of time, a metaphor for my daily behavior. How am I acting? What am I doing? Am I doing things? Not only am I delighting in his commandments, I'm actually doing them. Because I have utmost respect for the Lord, and God will bless you for that. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Hope. Hope is a purifying dynamic in life. Do I really believe what God said is going to happen is going to happen? Am I looking forward to that? Is that my hope? And if so, if I am really hoping in that, it puts a lot of things in this life in perspective because they lose their significance. Because everything here is temporary and will only last for a little while. But what we're looking forward to is eternal. James 1:25. James chapter 1, verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Continuing, consistency, demonstrating to God that each day you are committed to his word. You look into it. You study it. And that goes along with Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, where it says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. Do you enjoy reading the Bible? Do you enjoy coming to church and listening to the sermon? Do you seek to make application of those things in your life on a daily basis? For all of these things, there is blessing. And of course, there are the ultimate blessings to look forward to for the works that equal in quality gold, silver, and precious stones. There is reward for running the race of the Christian life the way God wants you to. There's an incorruptible crown for finishing your course designed by God. There's a crown of righteousness for enduring temptation. There's a crown of life for feeding God's people. There's a crown of glory, and for leading folks to Christ, there's a crown of rejoicing. All of that ought to be motivation enough to walk in the counsel, to walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, to delight in God's word, to meditate in God's law day and night, to make the Lord your trust, to fear the Lord, to delight greatly in his commandments, to walk in God's ways, to put your hope in the Lord, to look into the perfect law of liberty and continue in it, to read, hear, and keep the prophecies of God's book. And for all of that, even in this life, there is blessing. The sad thing for unbelievers who refuse to repent, there will never be any blessing, only consequences when they come face to face with God as the judge. The happy thing for believers is that there will be the prospect of great blessing from God when God takes us to heaven. So the lesson in prophecy for children is simply this. There are consequences for doing the wrong thing, but there is blessing for doing the right thing. Many attribute this statement to Abraham Lincoln. It's not 100% certain, but it sounds like something he would say. You can fool some of the people all of the time, and all of the people some of the time, but you cannot fool all of the people all of the time. I'm not sure about that. But there's one thing for sure. You can never fool God. He knows everything. So which do you want, young people? Consequences or blessing? You have a choice. And all you have to do is choose the right thing. The first right thing in your life is to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Without that, there's no promise of blessing. But then, as a child of God, understand he has already blessed you. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And while that's our heavenly prospect, there are so many opportunities to be blessed in this life. And that doesn't mean that life won't be without its challenges. It will be with its challenges. But the blessing, even in the midst of challenges, is that the peace of God that passes understanding can keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus, even in the midst of a storm. Choose the right thing. Choose the right thing in your home so that you don't have to face consequences from your parents. You can be good if you choose to. But parents, if your children choose the wrong thing, make sure that they understand there are consequences in life. They need to know that. Because if they don't learn it when they're young, they're not going to believe it when they get older. And then it's going to be a rude awakening at some point. But choose the right thing, and there can be abundant blessing. Abundant blessing. And that's what God wants for you. Choose the right thing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson of consequences and blessing. May our young people's lives be full of blessing because they choose the right thing. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.